You're listening to Dubstep and Dragons, a D&D...
Hey, Matthew.
Yes.
Before you go any further, I think it's only fair that we have a moment of silence for our fallen Conrad, Alphonse.
That's very fair. It's our first character death. Yeah, everybody remove your hats. Okay, that's enough. Goodbye, Alphonse.
Toodaloo, motherfucker!
We might see you again. Anyway. D&D 5e actual play podcast with a cyberpunk twist. My name is Matthew, and I will be your game master.
My name is Luke, and I'll play Ash.
I'm Jason, I'm playing Dringor Darkmoon.
Feels weird, we're in a different order.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
I'm Dan.
Spectator.
I'm Bo playing the resurrected Norris.
Norris Gloomface.
Norris Plus.
Norris the resurrected Gloomface.
I genuinely thought Norris was gonna be a goner last time.
I did too.
And it was real close.
Very.
It was literally the last shot. Because he had no way to get any more spell slots.
Luke was trying real fucking hard.
Yeah.
I just rolled like dog ass.
Yes, you did.
That whole freaking...
So did I.
That whole deal.
Yeah, that was a terrible rolling session.
It was not a great performance.
Story of my life.
Yeah. Sean's not here tonight, in case you hadn't caught that, because he's very sick. If my voice is a bit off, and if I start coughing, I will try to avoid coughing into your ears. But there's all sorts of nasty crap going around right now. So, we'll pick up right where we left off. You guys are in the market square. The only two that are currently conscious are Dringor and Norris, whom I almost called Bo. It was real close.
So proud of you.
Thank you. Currently, Ash and Fallen, the two healers of the group, are unconscious. You hear coming towards you, especially you, Dringor. Actually, Norris, you wouldn't hear this. Dringor, you hear this. You hear the sound of clanking armor. You're a smart enough guy to realize that is probably the city guard responding to all of the commotion.
There was a commotion?
A bit. Like, you look around, and this was a bunch of shops and tents, and you know, you had the main stage in the middle, and it had all these silk covers on it, and most of that shit's on fire.
That's fair.
Like, there was lots of fire going on.
And lightning.
And lightning, and... holy fire, and just all sorts of carnage.
Unholy fire.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah?
Do I see anyone yet, or just hear them?
You just hear them.
Okay.
And you know that the city... Actually, you would not know where the city guards are located. I take that back. You don't know shit. You know they're close enough that you can hear them.
I don't remember who I'm closest to, Ash or Fallen, but I'm going to go to one of them and see if they have any sort of healing potions.
You are closest to Ash.
Okay. Before they get here, I'm going to try to see if I can at least get them up.
Okay.
Norris would just be doubled over, trying to get control of himself.
Trying to figure out what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
Yep, fair enough.
Because I'm pretty sure I stabilized everyone, just I didn't have anywhere to heal anybody at the time.
I don't think that Ash is stabilized.
Okay.
I believe Fallen was the only one stabilized.
Well, I will try. I'll look through his person.
Okay, give me an investigation roll. Would you have them, like, out in the open? Would you have them, like, tucked into your bag?
They're tucked in.
Okay.
So,
8.
You do not find them. Not with an 8. I was only going to set the DC
at
10.
Well, if he's not stabilized, then I'm going to try to... at least medicine stabilize him.
Okay, give me a medicine check.
18.
Yeah, you stabilize him. Okay. No problem. He is still very much unconscious.
Okay.
But he is stable. I would say by the time you search him and get him stabilized, you see entering through the main gate of the marketplace where Alphonse had run out. You see in these ranks at a like double time march, two rows of, it looks like a total of about 20 guards.
All right,
would Norris
filing
see this?
In? Yeah, at this point you would become aware of the guards.
Dringor, that doesn't look very good.
Well, nah, we didn't do anything wrong.
I did a lot of things wrong, uh-huh. Even though I don't remember most of it. I remember coming to at the end, and I was doing a lot of things I couldn't control.
Well, I'm the only one who knows what you actually did that was wrong, so don't worry, I won't tell him.
I've had enough confrontation, though.
You hear in the back of your head, "You can't let them take me. If you get caught with me, it won't end well."
Norris would kind of just shake his head and look stunned. And Dringor, we've got to go. I can't stay here.
Well, we can't leave our friends.
I'll grab Fallen. Grab Ash. Let's go.
I'm going to attempt to pick up Ash.
Norris, you have no problem picking up Fallen. That's not hard for you. You're a very strong guy.
How far is Ash from me?
I think he was about 60. I think he was about 60 yeah.
Oh,
feet
shoot.
From you.
I got
he
my broom. Put him on the broom.
How much does it? Does
well,
it?
Can I put him on the broom and?
Does it say anything about the weight carrying capacity of the broom?
I forgot I was riding my broom.
Because I know that Ash himself is over 200 pounds.
It can carry up to 400 pounds.
How big is Drengor?
Yeah, I can't imagine he's that big. I don't know if I put it in, but.
If he's over 150 pounds, you are pushing the weight of this thing because Ash is not light.
No, I'm 205.
Yeah,
without armor.
Without armor and without fuck off sword.
Could I put him on it and like kind of drag the broom along? Is what I was thinking.
Use it as like a wheelbarrow kind of.
There's no way I'm carrying him.
No, I don't see any way.
That was my plan. I was putting him on the broom and maybe like a cart situation.
Got you.
That'd be way easier.
I am going to need an athletics check.
All right, fine.
To see how quickly you can do this and see if you can do it fast enough for you to not get caught in the act.
17.
17?
That's with a minus one. Okay. Well, for some reason, I have advantage on it. Thanks, fighter champion class.
Yeah, very nice. You're... You get the broom down there, and you're a smart guy. Like I said, you just slide the broom under Ash.
It's my ass.
And then say the command word, and it lifts him up off the ground. He's just like limp noodle over the hanging doubled over it. But you do get Ash off the ground.
Sweet. I'm going to gently guide it away, and we're going to leave, I guess.
What would I need to roll to pick up Fallen?
You just pick up. You're strong enough, and you're... Weight your carrying capacity is enough, but you are going to be at half speed, so you guys aren't going anywhere fast. You do get the feeling that at this speed you are likely to get caught,
like because I'm carrying him.
Yeah.
How heavy's Fallen?
Fallen's with all his plate armor and stuff like that, he's as heavy as Ash, I would say.
No body taxi, then.
Well, I would probably carry Fallen for a little bit and then look at him and be like, "I'm sorry, buddy. I just can't keep up." And I would drop him.
Okay.
I would try to, like, drop him, like, maybe, like, in the bushes.
Okay, give me a sleight of hand check. Let's see.
Bushes in the desert.
Either sleight of hand or survival.
Or maybe, like, if there's no bushes somewhere that I
can see if you can
like
tuck him into
to where he doesn't
like some business.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You said sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand or survival. I'll give you either one. Or stealth. Any of the three.
Stealth.
Okay.
disadvantage or
no.
just
okay. No, you're just trying to hide a body.
Well, 12.
You think you got him hidden?
Cool.
Yeah.
It's the best I can do, Fallen. Find us when you wake up.
Can you leave like a little note?
Sorry.
It's written Sorry. Like a fucking fourth grader with crayon.
Okay. And do you help him get Ash out of there and you guys just bolt? I would say with using the broom.
The broom
flying,
can go 50 feet round or whatever. Or that's its movement speed.
I will say because of the time that you took to get Ash and then the time with hiding Fallen, stuff like that, you guys can get away. They are definitely going to get pretty solid descriptions of you.
Like, imagine that we stick out at all.
Yeah, like you guys are surrounded by firelight because everything's on fire. and so you're pretty well lit. You get the feeling that they have a pretty good idea of what you all look like.
Fine.
And as you guys are running out of the marketplace and you're about to turn a corner, you definitely see some of the guards like nudging Fallen with their shoe to see if he's alive.
I tried.
Sorry, Fallen.
Yeah, I looked at the passive perception of a standard ass guard. He's gonna see. So
one of the 20 is probably gonna see.
Yeah, Fallen. One of the 20 is gonna find the plate wearing cheap priest.
Well, and I'm sure with as shitty as Norris feels, he's probably just like, whatever. He's hitting enough.
And where do you guys head out to? Where is your destination?
Would we go find the dock? Or where?
So to like the Fae Quarter?
Maybe. I don't know what's the best. I think that'd be a good place to regroup, maybe. Kind of figure out our next move.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm just following you at this point. I don't really understand what happened. Where's Alphonse?
Yeah, Alphonse, he, same thing as you, had that sickness, and I don't know, he bolted. We didn't have a way to keep him from running, so.
He turned into a cyberpsycho, too?
I guess, if that's what you call it.
Went crazy, couldn't
stop
him.
Yeah, started attacking us.
Fuck.
We could hold you down and get you better, but we pretty tapped out, and he was fast.
Which way did he go?
Towards town. I'll point the way the guards came.
Well, we can't go that way. All right, we should probably just find a place where we can lay low and try and wake up Ash.
Get Ash back up and kind of regroup our thoughts. Maybe go find Fallen.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Do we know where the dock was, right?
Yeah, you guys know where. Yeah, you guys know where he set up his tower.
Yeah, let's let's go find the dock. Maybe he can help.
Okay. You guys make it into the Fae Quarter. You kind of work your way around the long way. Through the marketplace is the most direct route to the Fae Quarter because there's that raised center in the city. You have to go all the way around that raised center. So it takes you a little while, and you're going through like all these shut down shopping districts, some nicer neighborhoods, and you get some weird looks having a guy, you know, doubled over a flying carpet or a flying broom.
Get it, the broom.
Yeah, but are you guys trying? Would you guys try to be stealthy at all so that people aren't seeing you, or just trying to act nonchalant?
I think nonchalant, maybe taking lesser walked ways, but I mean, it's probably going to be hard to get all the way to the city without being fully noticed. But
I would say the two of you give me either a stealth roll or a deception.
I'm going to go stealth. God damn it. It's going to be one of those fucking nights.
I get advantage and I still roll big shit.
I got an 11.
13.
Okay. Yeah, there was a good number of people saw you guys as you were traversing through. You were getting some weird looks. Like I said, especially with guy doubled over broom.
It's a weird sight.
Yeah. Yeah, it stands out. And as soon as you get into the Fae quarter, those satyr guards that are always patrolling, as soon as you get into the Fae quarter, they come up and they're like trying to push you through and kind of ducking you into an alley and guiding you through to get to Doc's observatory.
So you make it.
Yeah, you guys make it there. You get up to the door. The door is unlocked. As soon as you get inside, you see Mr. O and Doc. Mike is unconscious on a table, and they're kind of poking and prodding and zapping and trying to figure Mike out.
Do they notice us walk in?
Boy, if I butcher voices, be patient with me. As when you guys walk in, Doc had, you know, he has this headset on with all these like magnifying lenses that are just like swapping in and out so that he can, you know, adjust for vision. And and Mr. O, as soon as you guys walk in, we'll be just a minute. We're trying to. There's some funky shit going on inside of this kid.
Mr. O, I think we might be needing your help more than Mike right now.
And he starts unbuttoning his little lab coat.
See, Mr. O in a little lab coat.
Yeah, he's like taking gloves off. He's like, all right, what happened? What happened?
How's it say? Shit hit the fan. We lost two.
What do you mean lost?
Well, what'd you call it? Cyber?
Alphonse and I went cyber psycho, and they were able to bring me back. Alphonse is gone.
He took off of the hills.
And you see, like, Mr. O's already big, solid black eyes get even bigger. He's like, wait, so there's... So Alphonse is gone.
I don't remember.
I mean, he wasn't dead, but he wasn't him. He was attacking us.
If he's a cyber psycho, then he's dead.
Yeah, he took off. He was moving way too fast. We couldn't catch him.
Oh, man.
He was like on some super speed.
Fallen got arrested, I think. He at least got found.
I think he gives off enough of a good guy aura. I think he's going to be fine.
He can pour it out of there. He has magic.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. But Alpha, do you know where he went?
We were in the market square, and he just like took off towards the main part of town.
I don't even know where the fuck a cyber psycho would even what.
Yeah,
I don't know what their programming would tell him to do.
I don't know. Ash needs help.
Yeah, I didn't have any healing spells to get him back up.
Well, I don't fucking heal.
he's a doctor, isn't he?
Yeah, he walks over to Doc and he's like, and Doc has like headphones, like he's got these steampunk cups over his ears, and Mr. O walks up and he pulls it to the side and it's like death metal, just blaring in this headphone.
Fae death metal.
Yeah, and he's like, Doc, where's healing potions? Where are they? And Doc's just like pointing back and then takes the headphone and puts it back over his ear and like shoos Mr. O away. And Mr. O goes over and just grabs a basic healing potion and shoves it down Ash's gullet. So go ahead and take, I think it's 1d4 plus 4 or 2d4 plus, or no.
The new ones are 2d4
plus. 2d4 plus 2. That's what it'll be.
Oh. 2d4 plus what?
Plus 2. Did you roll double ones?
No, I did roll the 2 and a 1.
Oh, I mean, it could be worse.
It's at least one hit point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could be worse. It's just below average.
5.
I'm sorry that I'm going to be sucking on a cough drop.
It's not all you can suck on, big boy.
Wow. We're going there.
Rude. What?
Are you surprised?
It's supposed to be a secret.
Not at all.
I will give your dick whatever I got.
Oh, don't you tempt me with a good time, Mr. DM.
Dick cough.
Oh, I got the dick cough. Oh. Matt's just blaming it on being sick. Quote,
I love
unquote.
This game.
I guess we should probably talk about what our next move is.
Yeah,
we're down two guys.
Well,
I don't know.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
Does this go away, or how does this work?
Well, if you guys brought him back, he's gonna be fine physically. I mean, like, and he looks back and forth between Fallen and Ash, like. But like, are you guys okay? Like, what happened?
Well, last thing I remember,
and I'm like,
we walked into the city. Somebody was trying to take Dringor's gun, and then we kind of got into a scuffle. And then next thing I know, I'm waking up and the town's on fire, and I can't control my body. It's like I could see what was going on, but I was attacking people and things.
We got attacked by whatever they're called, the gang of...
They were like a dark skin elf gang.
Oh, the Syndicate.
Yeah.
The Nightspire Syndicate.
Yeah, dickheads.
Well, they're not alive anymore, but...
They're no longer.
Well, I bet there's some... I bet it wasn't all of them.
I don't know. We took out most of them. Where did Alphonse go?
He took off towards the town proper. I don't know where he's headed, but...
Fallen?
Well, we tried to carry Fallen, but...
I couldn't do it.
The boy's too big. We could not get him.
I was understandable. Too slow.
You got to ride the old broom, so you were easy to transport, but...
That's why my dick hurts.
probably wasn't the most comfortable position.
No.
That modern armor just doesn't have a proper codpiece.
You're not in jail.
Did you say codpiece?
So yeah, but we reckon Fallen probably be okay, but we can go try to search for him maybe, but Alphonse, I don't know.
So there was no way to find Alphonse?
Well, we were all out of healing magic that we got you with. We could have held him down, but then what?
Yeah, you were kind of a bitch to take down and bring back.
And Alphonse wasn't going to cast a resurrection on himself, that's for sure.
Why'd he do that?
Well, why were you...
What happened? Did he get shot? Did he, like... Alphonse is a pretty strong guy.
We were in a pretty big pickle.
What happened?
There's no sense of way to say this, but he did it to himself.
Yeah.
I think maybe he knew what was going to happen once he did that. And we needed help.
See, you're telling me that he fucking sacrificed himself?
Yeah,
to combat you, because you went Cyber Psycho.
That's bullshit. Alphonse wouldn't fucking do that.
Well, in a weird way, it kind of worked.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Norris would just get quiet.
You're going to need so much therapy. You already needed therapy. Need a lot more.
How long does anyway? Do I? What I know? How long a cyberpsychosis lasts for?
Give me. Actually, you would know. You would be familiar with your background. You would be familiar enough with it. You would know that basically until it runs out of power. Until his systems run out of power, it's going to continue trying to survive and trying to get back to corporate headquarters. So whatever his operating system is, he's going to try to return to the headquarters of that operating system, which is on a different planet.
Well, he ain't going to get off this planet. So...
My guess is he's probably just going to run dry. So we could, if he stays in the city, we might be able to do like a locate on him. Oh, yeah, do you have anything that can do like a located source or a locate objects or anything like that?
Oh.
Like a spell or anything?
That's a good question. Let me take a quick look through my spell book real quick.
Bring up Auron. I didn't even think about him possibly having locate object or something like that.
Locate Alphonse spell?
Yeah, locate Alphonse.
Find my iPhone.
I mean, I don't have it. I don't have it in my book. We could go buy a scroll of it. And
well, we should probably lay low for a while.
Well, I could probably go tomorrow in the morning.
Yeah, Tamgar got a good look at us, and I don't think they're gonna forget us anytime soon.
Well,
we kind of booked it out of there.
Well, that was good.
Ish.
All right. So, you guys stay the fuck here. Get some rest. In the morning, I'll see if I can go get a scroll of... what object? He would probably have... I mean, he would have all his gear on him, right?
Yeah, he left.
He still had everything?
So we could do even his core. Like his nuke core that he has inside.
Does he have that ship in a bottle still? That's one thing I can remember what we had. I don't know who had that.
No, the ship stayed...
Okay,
at the locate the normal location of the observatory. It's at Doc's house.
What about his genie lamp? You still have that?
Nope. Genie's gone. But he still has his gun. And he still has his like duster of disguise and stuff like that. Yeah, so there's objects that he can.
Yeah. Okay, so hopefully we can. I mean, there's all sorts of resurrection possibilities and stuff like that. I mean, maybe if we find him, hopefully... I mean, he's not going to be out of power for probably fucking years. But maybe we can find him and subdue him and see if we can get him resurrected.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's a thing here. You're in a magic world.
Well, if you go to town, can you keep your ears open for Fallen, too?
Well, I could tell you where Fallen's going to be.
Where is he going to be at?
Fucking jail.
Even just being as, like, passed out on the street? He was passed out.
Yeah, he's passed out in from what you guys describe, a war zone. You find somebody passed out in a war zone covered in blood, you do the math. I'm not saying that they're automatically going to assume he's the bad guy, especially if there's a bunch of syndicate bodies around him. Like, they may assume that it was in self-defense, you know. I don't think they're going to be, like, beating him senseless in jail, but he's probably going to be in jail. So, and I'm not going there. We're going to have to find somebody else to check on that.
Is it still nighttime, or...
Yeah, it's nighttime.
Well, these aren't problems are going to solve tonight, so I think a good night's rest is probably good for all of us.
I'd probably agree with that.
Well, the spiders will set up your rooms. I'll fill Doc in once he's out of the zone. Can't really interrupt him right now. He's locked in.
I'm going to look at the table right before and see if there's any food, and if there is, I'm going to grab it and go off to bed.
Yeah, you find there's plenty of food.
Yesterday was exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm going to run over. I'm going to kind of skirt beside Norris and go, I tried. I'm really sorry. I tried.
Trying doesn't matter if Alphonse died.
I know.
Norris would just walk away.
You all make it to your rooms, and they're the little pocket dimensions that they open up for you, and you all get in there and start getting settled. Ash, when you're laying there, like this was the this was definitely a different connection that you'd had with Rain today. It was a very direct, like, you felt kind of overwhelmed by the power she was channeling in you. And you can feel her exhaustion. Like, it definitely took a great effort for her. And you can almost just hear almost like you're in an echoey room with her, and you can just hear like soft sobbing.
Can I like try to commune and get on her plane? Almost.
Give me
kind of trance.
Give me a persuasion check to see if you can convince her to allow it.
23.
With a 23, you sit on the bed, and you go into that kind of trance that you've experimented with Fallen, and just the meditation. And after a couple of moments, you find yourself in that black empty space that she's brought you to before. And usually she'll have it like filled, you know, lately she's had it like filled out, you know, an environment in there. This time it is just black, empty nothingness. And this is the first time that there's been like a noticeable temperature to it. It's cold. It's freezing cold. And you see off in the distance, just you see Rain, but she's got this gold glowing aura to her, and she's laying down and she's kind of hugging her knees and just sobbing on the floor.
I'm going to walk over to her and kind of kneel next to her and put my hand on like her shoulder behind her.
And as soon as you touch her, it's like you electrocuted her. Like she jumps back and she kind of shuffles across the floor before she realizes.
Rain, I'm
you're there.
I feel like I tried really hard.
It's not your fault. It all happened so fast. I couldn't stop him. You couldn't have stopped him. I don't know what to do.
Well, we're going to try to work on maybe locating him tomorrow. Mr. O's going to help. But I just feel like I could have done more, and I'm truly sorry.
You had to stop Norris. There was nothing you could have done. I wish I could have given you more. It was so much effort. It's not your fault. I was in the outside looking in, and I can tell you it wasn't your fault. It was nobody's fault. It's just a bad situation. I can't pretend to know what he was thinking. You know, I'm sure he thought that was the best way out. We could have figured something else out. He made a reckless gamble, and it didn't work. It's not your fault.
Well, that's reassuring, at least. I feel like a failure to the group in all. I can see how it's affecting Norris very much so. Feels like it almost looks like he's lost a member. I can't imagine what you're going through. But I feel like feel like I could have done more but didn't do enough.
I don't know what more we could have done. We have to find him.
I agree.
We can find a way to bring him back There's got to be something we can do. I mean, his body's still there. As long as there's still a body, we can... This is a magical world. There's got to be something.
We'll locate him. It'll be all right.
I'm gonna try to connect with my body on Earth. Everything feels different now. And I feel even more disconnected than I did before.
When you say disconnected, do you mean to Earth or to...
I feel untethered. I feel tethered to you. But now I was tied to you and Alphonse and Norris, and now Alphonse, I felt the connection break. So one tether here is gone. And I feel like I'm losing my tie to my body. I don't know what to do. I won't leave you defenseless. But I need to focus on trying to anchor myself to something and see if I can help out there. I'll figure something out to help you while I'm gone.
Sounds good. Don't hesitate to use me in what you need to.
I'll still be here while I'm trying to figure out how to get back. But yeah, I'll if you don't feel me, just know that I've figured out a way back.
Okay.
And I'll try to fill you in. Maybe I can contact you once I get there.
Okay.
And let you know how things are going. And you let me know. I'll know if I feel the connection to Alphonse come back. I'll feel that.
Sounds good. I will leave you to it then.
And you see this look of like before she was just a sad girl in a room, and you can definitely tell that getting to talk to you and getting to talk this out and having a plan and having some sort of hope, she now has this kind of steely determination. Like she's still, you know, tears welling up and stuff like that, but you see that determination on her face.
I lean into her and like touch my forehead to her forehead and said, "Don't give up hope."
I don't have much left, but I'll hold on to what I have.
Just don't give up. We'll find a way.
And she reaches out and gives you a hug and kind of pulls you in. And then you feel the connection break. And you're sitting in your bed. Norris, you're having a very different experience. You're sitting in your room trying to piece the connection, trying to piece everything back together, trying to figure out what you must have missed. And I would say, all in all, kind of... But would I be right in saying that he kind of blames himself?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like after talking with Ash, Norris would probably be sitting there definitely blaming himself because, you know, Norris was... almost feeling like he needed to prove something after getting beat in the ring so quickly, you know, and then he got knocked down a couple times, which was humbling for Norris, you know, but he's not used to being so easily beaten, you know. And then, you know, Alphonse was kind of the guy that, you know, helped him from the very beginning, you know, at the train wreck, mm-hmm. to get my arms, and you know, so Norris would just be laying there, you know, and just thinking, like, if I just wouldn't have been so fucking pigheaded, having to fight,
you know, being the first one ready for a fight. Always the first one ready for a fight. That Alphonse wouldn't have had to feel like he had to sacrifice himself because I had to fight and die. That's my own fault. Why did he have to go? I didn't have anything. I had nothing here except for my group. They had everything. Alphonse had stuff. Ash has things. Family.
While you're having this stream of consciousness and just spiraling into this like self-loathing cycle.
Absolutely. Norris hates himself right now.
It doesn't start as words. It starts as these little nudges. Like these little mental nudges trying to like push your thoughts towards, no, we were attacked. And so while you're having this conversation with yourself, every now and then there's just this thought that sneaks in like, no, we were provoked. We were just defending ourselves. And you kind of bounce back and forth between these two kind of internal conversations. And then after you spiral for about 5 minutes, that voice pops in. No, revenge. Revenge always helps.
Revenge isn't going to help me right now.
Oh, no. Revenge always helps. Power comes with it. You want the people that are responsible for this to pay, don't you? You want justice.
Well, yeah, I want people to pay. How do I not make them pay, but make myself pay?
Well, I have a win-win for you.
What do you mean?
Well, if you seek revenge and you die trying, then you've punished yourself, right? If you succeed, then you've avenged your friend. There's so much power in death.
Norse would just kind of sit there and...
I can help. The power is yours. I can help you avenge your friend. Don't you want to see the people responsible bleeding on the floor, begging for mercy?
Well, I guess if I can't punish myself, punishing others would kind of make me feel better.
The steps are already being taken. The Lord of Blood sees your plight. He wants to help. There's acolytes everywhere. Cults of Orcus could be at your command.
How would we do it?
The steps are already being taken. Just follow me. I will take you right where you need to be.
I think we make them pay.
Wonderful. And the voice goes silent in your head, but you feel this just this gentle pull towards the door.
I get up and go towards the door.
You walk out into the hallway and that pull continues, and you're going through the main observatory, and Doc and Mr. O are both hunched over Mike, and you just stick to the out. You don't say anything. You just walk through and walk to the front door. As soon as you walk out, you see these cloaked figures along the walkways. And the pull is taking you in the direction of where you see these cloaked figures. And as you're walking through the streets, you see nobody but these cloaked figures. And they're kind of steering you onto side streets and through private gardens, and they're taking you this real roundabout way where you're seeing nobody in the city. And you're wandering through, and just as you walk by, you can't see the faces of any of these cloaked figures. And they're these deep blood red cloaks. And all of them, the cloaks seem to be kind of held up by, you can see different shaped horns under the hoods. And as you're going through, you make it all the way through the city, seeing nobody except for these hooded figures. Like, on the way here, you saw all sorts of people. This time you see none. It takes you this winding path to avoid all onlookers. And as you get through the city, you get to this kind of rundown back corner of the mesa. And there's this large building that looks like a hodgepodge of... It looks like there was this one main building, and then there were a bunch of smaller buildings just built onto it. And there's different storefronts in all of them. But they're definitely built around this one main building. And the voice in your head, that's it. That's the Syndicate's headquarters. All of these businesses are fronts. They're all criminals. They're all evil. They're all bound for the abyss. You may as well be the one that sends them there.
I will be the one that sends them there.
And as you say this, one of these cloaked figures comes by, and they have a oil lantern that they take, and they walk over to these barrels that are set up on the outside of this building.
And can I tell what the barrels are?
You said give me a perception check. You see stamped on the side of these barrels lantern oil.
Does it look like this hooded figure is about to ignite these lantern oils?
You see him take this. It's an unlit lantern. Mm. He takes it and he smashes it against one of the barrels, and then he starts walking directly towards you, and he's just making this trail of oil in the sand as he's walking towards you, and then he drops the lantern at your feet. And he steps back, and he just puts his hands in his sleeves and watches you.
Now's the time. Smoke them out.
I want them to see my face.
And then I would just yell. What's their name?
It was Nightspire Syndicate.
Norris would just yell, Nightspire! Show yourself!
You start, after a moment, you yell this out. And I would say you probably yell it out a few times, just to really try to get some attention. And you start seeing...
I feel like Norris at this point, like his like chest plates and stuff would be like pulsating, like emitting steam.
And just that green, just a little bit of green glow underneath. You start seeing people coming to the windows and looking out to see what's happening. And you recognize that a couple of them are just standing in the windows and talking to one another, trying to figure out what's going on, and it's identical garb to the group you fought. And after a few moments, this large man, one of the shops, it's a flower shop over off to the side, the door opens, and this large, bare-chested, he's just wearing like some leather pants, no shoes or anything, just these leather pants, and carrying a broadsword, walks out, and he's, "What is it?"
"Before I send you to Orcus, I want you to know who sends you. I am Norris Gloomface."
And he lets out a little chuckle. It's quite a name. Norris Gloomface. I don't know how you intend to take us all on.
Before he finishes, I'm just going to command flame. And at that time, I'm just going to immediately rage and just light the oil.
Okay. As soon as you rage, and these green flames just billow out from you, and this at this point it lights up the face of this Orcus cultist, and it is a blue skin tiefling, and he's got this big sick smile on his face. And as soon as you send the flame down to the oil on the ground, it lights and it starts working its way across the ground. And you're about 25 feet from it. And everybody in the windows starts, like, their focus goes to the flame. The guy that just walked out, his focus, he sees the flame and he just starts charging at you. And
Norris would just grin.
20 seconds later, the flame works its way all across and catches to these. And as soon as it's about to hit, you see a couple of cultists start throwing hatchets at the barrels, and they bust open and just spill oil out. And it catches, and then all these barrels just going all the way around. And you can see that they made oil trails and barrels going all the way around this building. And it turns into an absolute inferno. You hear people screaming inside, just burning to death. And as people are trying to run out, these cultists are running in and shoving them down into the fire and holding them into the flames. The one man that walked out, and he's got a couple of buddies with him that came out with him, they're just charging straight for you. Go ahead and roll initiative. Okay. Give me just a second. Evil is relative. What was your initiative?
22.
I've got, even with a plus 10, you still beat me. I got a 20. So this man and his two friends get up in your face, and he's coming in with this giant broadsword and trying to bring it down on you. But you go first.
Question. As a reaction, could I try to grapple his hand as it comes down?
You can. It would be your action.
I don't want to do that. Okay, well, just as an action, how far away is he from me?
He's
right in my face.
Right in your face.
Perfect. As my action, I'm going to attack him twice. Reckless Great Weapons Master, and that would just give me a plus 3, correct? Well,
what's your plus to hit?
A plus 10, but I'll take 3 off.
You would take 5 off. If you're doing great weapon master.
So it'd just be plus five.
So it'd be a plus five. You only have a plus three with the Wand of Orcus? Are you attuned to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I have a plus 10 to hit.
You should have more than a plus 10 to hit with the Wand of Orcus.
No, I'm attuned to it.
Because that's a plus three weapon, and it uses your strength. You should be like a plus 13 or some shit like that.
Mine's not a plus three. I'm attuned.
Huh.
Hang on a second. Let me see here. Oh, well, yeah, hitting him with the Wand of Orcus. Yeah, it'd be a plus 13.
Yeah, and you feel compelled to hit them with the Wand of Orcus.
Perfect. All right, so then I would take five off of that?
Yeah, so plus eight.
Perfect. So that would be 23.
This guy's wearing some leather pants. That definitely hits.
Perfect. That's 19 damage.
Okay.
For the first one. Twenty-four to hit.
Definitely hits.
Damage.
Okay. You take some pretty sizable chunks out of him right off the bat, and you're kind of blocking out the outside, and you're just focused on these motherfuckers in front of you, but you have this raging inferno. Like, the whole building is going up at this point.
And there's three of them, correct?
There's three of them in front of you. So you have this raging inferno to your right, and you have the city off to the left. And you can see people coming out to try to see what's happening. And he's going to take
as a bonus action, sir. I'm going to manifest Echo.
Okay.
Next to the guy to his left.
Okay. Perfect.
And then just say, I'm glad you came forward. You're the one I really wanted.
He's just looking at. Who are you? Norris. And he's going to try to hit you with his greatsword. On two attacks, I rolled. One was a 15. The other is a natural 20.
First fucking roll from the DM and he goddamn crits.
He doesn't hit near as hard as you do, though. So that's going to be...
I would like to say I am raging.
Yeah. So... 23 half to 11. The other one missed. I need a strength saving throw DC 20. Oh, and actually, because I threw that in, that'll be another 15 damage, half to 7 for the trip attack.
Strength saving throw?
Yeah. DC 20.
I failed.
Okay. You are knocked prone. He sacrifices the second hit to... He swings at you, and then he just drives his shoulder into you and knocks you to your butt, giving the other two advantage on their attacks. So they just have these short swords, and they're going to try to hit you on the ground. The first... Oh, actually, he has three attacks. So here, let me roll his third attack. That's going to be a 25 to hit.
Yep.
Okay. That one is just going to be 17, half to 8. And then the other two are going to take their attacks. The first one is twin natural twos.
Perfect.
double deuce. And a crit. But they only do a D6 plus 4.
Okay.
So that's 7.
10.
So they're going to do 13 damage, half to 6 on a crit. And then the other one's going to do his two attacks. 23 to hit? Does not hit.
Does
You're 24.
Correct.
That one will hit. That is just 7.5 to 3. And comes around to you.
Okay. So did those other two move at all?
No. They're all just kind of standing over you. They knocked you down, and they're going to try to just, like, ground and pound you.
Okay. Well, then, from my echo, I'm going to attack the one that I'm standing next to.
Okay.
Reckless Great Weapons Master.
Kay.
Oh, hang on. That was a 12.
Sorry.
So that's going to be 22 to hit.
That definitely hits. Are you adding the plus 10 to your damage for Great Weapon Master?
I did not.
So I'll subtract another 20 from that last round.
Okay.
Since you did call Great Weapon Master on both of them.
So that's 21 damage.
Okay. Is that adding the 10 for Great Weapon Master?
31 damage. We literally just had this conversation.
Thank you.
And then the second one.
Are you standing up or are you going to stay on the ground?
I'm just standing on the ground for now.
Okay.
Because I just use half my movement speed to get up.
Yeah, correct? It's half your movement speed to get up.
That's a crit.
Oh, nice.
So that's max damage, right?
Yeah.
So
max damage plus your roll.
So that's 1d6 plus 8 would be 14 plus 2d12, so 24 plus 18 is a lot.
42.
Okay, plus 10 would be
52.
And then
Then you roll your dice.
You should crit more often.
He actually does more damage on a crit with his fists than the Wand of Orcus because he gets the extra 2d6 fire and lightning when he uses his fists. But the Wand of Orcus, that plus 13 to hit and all that.
Well, that's an additional 30.
Okay. So that's 82?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a bad hit.
With that,
and then I'm
hit,
going to use half.
In for the fences.
Yeah.
So with that hit, you knock him unconscious.
Yeah.
You knock the main guy unconscious.
Did the other guy just run into the fire to get away?
Apparently, did not give them enough hit points.
Wait. So I wasn't attacking the main guy.
Oh, okay. You were attacking the other two?
I was just attacking the one that my echo. Because I'm attacking from my echo.
Well, then he's gone.
He's dead?
Okay, yes.
Cool. So then I would use half my movement speed to stand up, being right in this main guy's face, and say...
You give him his hit points back.
And I would look at him and say, I did that from the ground. You're next.
And when you get up, It's not even like you take your time and fucking plant your hand and shit like that. You're not kipping up like Alphonse would. What it is you just open up your rear vents to your rear exhaust, and it starts blowing flames out the back and pushes you up off the ground onto your feet. And as soon as you're standing up, you see his eyes get real fucking big. And he takes three swings at you, almost just out of panic. On the first one, he does not have it. Oh, that's another crit.
Of course.
And I'm gonna need a DC 20 strength save. While I figure out crit damage.
I pass.
22. Plus 7, plus 6, 29, 35 plus 5. 40 half to 20. Then he's going to take another attack.
Holy shit!
No kidding. Fucking crit again.
Just so call me fucking Luke.
So that's going to be another 40 half to 20. I need another strength save. Because he definitely prefers you on your back.
Helga.
Hey, baby.
But I am running out of superiority dice already.
I pass.
Damn it. And on his third attack, since you're still not on the ground, he's going to try it again. Not a crit, but still going to hit.
Okay.
So you're going to take 10 plus 5. Boy, my brain. 18 halved to 9, and I need another strength save from you.
I pass.
Damn. Okay. And then the other two, or no, the remaining one, other one is going to take his two attacks at you. That is not going to hit. Neither is that. That's worse than the first one. And he's shitting himself. So he's very distracted watching this whole green flaming display. And that brings us back around to you.
Perfect. I'm going to... How far is the second guy?
They're right in your face.
I'm
going
to command my Echo to get to the other side of the other peon.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to attack the main guy, Reckless Great Weapons Master.
Okay.
That's a crit.
Oh. Okay. You can do the math if you want.
No,
or we can save your brain cells.
Yeah.
So you take one hit at this guy, and you take this massive club. I mean, this thing, it, as I described, it's like this obsidian stone, like 3.5 foot long, weighs like 25 pounds. Just this massive club with a flaming skull at the end of it. And you take that skull and you just bash his fucking head in.
So, before I kill this guy, I would like to come down with the Wand of Orcus. And I'd imagine it almost kind of buries, like I hit him kind of like at the clavicle, right at the base of his neck. And I bury it into him. And as he's sitting there choking on blood and it's coughing out, I'm going to look at him and say, "This was for Alphonse. But when you see Orcus, tell him Norris sent you." And then I would rip it out. And since the Wand of Orcus is like a spine, I would imagine like the lamina of the spine would act as like a serration and just cut all the way through his body and just slice him in
just
half.
Just like gutting him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you pull it out, all the internal organs and stuff that you're pulling through get like caught on the whatever word you used.
Lamina.
Yeah, the lamina. Lamina?
Yeah.
Lamina. And just like you pull out like separating the bones and you're like pulling lung out and it is, you brutalize him.
Absolutely. That was just my first attack, right?
Yeah. And then you turn to the second guy, and you have just sinew and muscle and viscera dripping off of this flaming skull. And this guy just takes a knee, and he just accepts his fate.
I'll roll.
Just batter up T-ball?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, this guy very unceremoniously just takes a knee. He just watched this brutal, brutal display. And you feel so satisfied. It feels so fucking good. Like, it doesn't erase what happened to Alphonse. It doesn't erase any of it, but God, it feels good. And you get this voice in the back of your head, and it's not the voice you're used to. You get this booming, powerful voice. General, you will be. And it's just this groan of satisfaction, this, like, somebody on the other end is just drinking up your rage, is loving every bit of it. And you can feel hot breath on the back of your neck. And one of the cultists comes up to you and lays down at your feet and gets down and starts praising you, like looking at the ground, and starts, "General, what are your orders, General?"
"Finish this one."
And he just, like, you see him reach inside of his cloak and he pulls out these two daggers and he just viciously starts stabbing into him. Just like a fucking pincushion, just one after another, just brutalizing this body. Just tearing it apart. "Does this satisfy you, General?" And just keeps going.
I feel like Norris in his stupor, like, for lack of better terms, like, stupor of emotion. As he's, like, watching this, it would probably, like, fire him up even more because he's already, you know, raging and, you know, feeling just this unusual sense of ecstasy.
Yeah.
As he's pincushioning, as you say,
yeah,
this guy, Norris would take the Wand of Orcus. And so I'd imagine Norris would just be standing there, like, both arms down after he just ripped through this guy. And he would just, I mean, with all the rage he had in him, almost like cricket swing, like how you swing like a cricket bat, mm-hmm, from the bottom up, catch this guy right under the chin as he's getting pincushioned, and just try to literally take this guy's head off backwards. Hey,
and I mean, you, this guy was already being torn to ribbons, and you easily remove his head, and you get this compulsion. You reach down and you dig your hands into where the wand ripped him open, and you pick up this leader, and you get this compulsion, and you walk to the burning building, and you're holding his corpse just loose, dangling in your hands, and you get this compulsion to hold him into the fire, just this raging inferno. And as you're holding him there, you see the metal of your arms just starts turning red hot, and then blue, and then just pure white, just glowing white hot, and the metal starts melting off of them. And his body just starts turning to charcoal and ash in your hands, and your arms are melting from the heat. And in their place is these clawed red flesh hands and arms with these fucking talons coming off of them. And you just hold them there, and the fire isn't burning you. It's not hurting you at all. And you're just holding him there until he disintegrates into ash. You turn around to all these onlooking cultists, and there's a row of them that just get down on their knees and bow to you. And you can see, wrapping around in your periphery, these large ram horns coming out of the front of your head and wrapping around the sides to the peaks coming out in front of your face. You're now a general of Orcus. And as soon as they start kind of, "Come, General. We must get you away before the guards get here." and they start shuffling you off and bring you back to the observatory through the city. You may now change your race to tiefling. And we'll pick it up there next week. I think that's a good place to give it a pause for this. It's a short episode, but I think that's a good spot.
Well, wow, yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this epic episode after we lost one of our fellow comrades and everything. Make sure to check us out on your favorite podcasting platform.
Somebody's having a tough time.
Drop us a like, follow, and subscribe. Leave us a comment of what you thought of this enormous change to Norris. And hopefully next time we find out what all happens. We'll see you then.
Toodles.
Bye.